Chapter 3. Liar. Alfred Lanning lit his cigar, but his hands were shaking. He frowned as he spoke. The robot reads minds? We are sure about that. But why? He looked at mathematician Peter Bogert. Well? Bogert flattened his black hair down with his hands. That was the 34th RB bottle we've produced. All the others were normal. The third man at the table was Milton Ash. He was the youngest officer of U.S. Robots. Listen, Bogert, he said. There wasn't a problem in the factory. Our robots are produced perfectly. I'm sure about that. Bogert smiled. Are you?
The production of a single positronic brain involves exactly 75,234 operations. If any one of these operations goes seriously wrong, we can't use the brain.
If we're going to start blaming one another, I'm leaving, said Susan Calvin. Her hands were folded tightly in her lap. We've got a mind-reading robot, and we've got to find out how it reads minds.
Saying your fault, my fault, is not going to help.
Her cold gray eyes looked at Ash, and he smiled. Lanning smiled, too. You're right, Dr. Calvin, he said. We've produced a positronic brain that has got the ability to read minds. We don't know how it happened, and we must find out. Is that clear?
May I make a suggestion? Asked Bogert. I think we should keep this a secret until we solve the problem. We should not share it with the others.
Bogert is right, said Dr. Calvin. Lanning nodded his head. Then only the four of us will know. All right. Ash, I want you to check the factory from beginning to end. List any operations where there was a possible error. He turned to Calvin. You're the robot psychologist of the factory. You're going to study the robot itself. Try to find out how he works. And I will work on the mathematical solutions. Bogert will help me.
Well, said Ash, I've got the most difficult job, so I'd better begin.
Susan Calvin's eyes followed him as he left the room. RB-34's photoelectric eyes lifted from the book. The door opened, and Susan Calvin entered.
I've brought you more books on hyperatomic motors, Herbie, she said.
Herbie lifted the heavy books from her arms. Sit down, Dr. Calvin. This will take me a few minutes. The psychologist sat down and watched Herbie as he took a chair at the other side of the table and went through the three books. At the end of half an hour, he had finished.
These textbooks don't interest me. There's nothing in them. Your science is just a collection of data that is connected by an unclear theory. It's all too simple. I don't want to spend time on it. I'm interested in your fiction. I want to read novels and stories to understand human behaviors and emotion.
I think I understand, said Dr. Calvin.
I see into minds, you see, the robot continued. They are very complicated. It is difficult for me to understand everything because my own mind is so different from human minds. Your novels help me understand. But after reading some of the dramatic emotional experiences in novels, you will find real minds like ours dull and colorless, said Dr. Calvin.
But I don't. Dr. Calvin reddened. He must know, she thought.
But of course I know about it, Dr. Calvin, said Herbie. You think of it all the time. Of course I know.
Her face was hard.
Have you told anyone?
Of course not. He was surprised.
No one has asked me. Well then, I suppose you think I am a fool.
No, it is a normal emotion.
I am not beautiful or young, she said bitterly. You are not yet 40. And he's 35. Do you think he ever sees me as a woman? You are wrong.
Herbie's steel hand struck the table.
Listen to me. Why should I? You're a machine. I'm just an example of a human mind to you. Something for you to analyze.
The robot shook his head.
Please listen to me. I can help you if you let me. I know what Milton Ash thinks.
There was a long silence.
I don't want to know what he thinks,
Susan Calvin said.
Keep quiet. I think you would like to know what he thinks. He loves you. You are mistaken. Why should he? He looks deeper than the skin. He prefers clever people.
Dr. Calvin's voice was shaking.
But he never shows any interest. There was a girl who visited him here 6 months ago. She was pretty, blonde, and slim. He spent all day trying to explain to her what we do here. Who was she?
Herbie answered without hesitation.
I know the girl. She is his cousin. There is no romantic relationship between them.
Susan Calvin stood up and ran to Herbie. She held his cold, heavy hand in both hers.
Thank you, Herbie. Don't tell anyone about this. Let it be our secret. Thank you again.
And she left.
Milton Ash stretched slowly. He was tired.
I've been working on this for a week with very little sleep. How long do we have to go on?
Bogart yawned.
I'm nearly done, but Lanning disagrees with me. He wants to use the old techniques. But we need to use the more powerful mathematical tools on this problem. The old man won't listen.
Why don't you ask Herbie? Said Ash. The robot is a mathematical genius. The only problem is he doesn't like math. He prefers reading romantic novels.
Really? Dr. Calvin hasn't told us about this. But she's told you?
Well, we've been talking a lot lately.
Ash frowned.
Tell me, Bogart, have you noticed anything strange about Calvin recently?
Bogart smiled.
She's using lipstick, if that's what you mean.
Yes, but that's not all.
It's the way she talks. She's happy about something.
Bogart laughed.
Maybe she's in love.
Ash closed his eyes.
You're crazy, Bogart. You go speak to Herbie. I want to stay here and go to sleep.
Herbie listened carefully as Peter Bogart explained the problem and showed him the calculations.
So this is the method I follow, and Dr. Lanning disagrees with me.
Herbie studied the figures.
I see no mistake.
Can you help me further?
You are a better mathematician than I am,
said Herbie. Bogart smiled.
I thought so. Well, forget it.
He turned to leave and then paused.
By the way, there is something.
He found it difficult to continue. Herbie spoke quietly.
Your thoughts are confused, but they are all about Dr. Lanning.
Bogart smoothed his hair with his hand.
Lanning is nearly 70, and he's been the director of the company for almost 30 years.
Herbie nodded.
Well, do you know? Is he going to quit the job?
Certainly. He has already quit.
What? Say that again.
He has already quit,
Herbie repeated quietly.
He is waiting to solve the problem of, myself. He is ready to leave the position of director.
Bogart took a deep breath.
And the next director? Who is he?
His eyes were fixed on Herbie's red photoelectric eyes now. Herbie spoke slowly.
You are the next director.
Bogart smiled.
This is good to know. I've been hoping and waiting for this. Thanks, Herbie.
Bogert was at his desk until 5 that morning, and he was back at 9. His desk was covered with books and pages of calculations. At exactly 12, he looked at the final page and rubbed his eyes.
This is getting worse each minute.
At that moment, the door opened and Lanning came in.
Has Calvin told you about the robot? It's a mathematical genius. Amazing.
Bogert laughed.
I checked Herbie on math, and he can't even do calculus.
I don't think so. I've been testing Herbie all morning, and he can do calculations you've never heard of. Look at this.
Bogert studied the sheet of paper.
Herbie did this?
Right, and he agrees with me.
Bogert was angry.
Well then, let that smart robot solve the problem for you.
Herbie can't solve the problem, and if he can't, that means we can't either. I'm taking the question to the national board. Maybe they can solve it for us.
Bogert jumped up, his face red.
You're not doing that.
Lanning's face also turned red.
Are you telling me what I can't do?
Exactly. I've already solved the problem, and you're not going to take it out of my hands. Understand? You are too old for this, you fossil. You are trying to prevent my success.
You're an idiot, Bogert. You can't speak to me like that. I'll kick you out of this company in 1 second.
Oh no, Lanning, you won't. I know that you are going to quit the job.
What? What?
Bogert laughed.
And I'm the new director. I'm going to be giving the orders here.
You're finished! You're out!
Roared Lanning. Bogert smiled.
I know you've quit the job, Herbie told me. And he got it from your mind.
Lanning tried to keep calm.
That's not possible. I want to speak to Herbie. Come with me.
It was also exactly 12 when Milton Ash looked up from his drawing.
So you see, I'm not very good at drawing, but that's how it looks. It's a lovely house, and quite inexpensive.
Susan looked at him with melting eyes.
It's really beautiful, she said.
Of course I've got to wait for my holiday, but this Herbie problem has everything up in the air. And there's something else. A secret. I'm dying to tell someone.
Susan Calvin's heart was beating fast, but she could not speak.
Actually, the house isn't only for myself, Ash whispered. You remember that girl who was here last summer? I'm marrying her.
Then he jumped out of his seat.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just a headache.
Susan Calvin said weakly.
I want to congratulate you. I'm very happy for you.
Her face was white. She was feeling dizzy.
Excuse me, please.
She walked out of the door with difficulty. It was like a dream. It had the unreal horror of a dream. But how could it be? Herbie had said,
Herbie knew.
He could read minds. She ran upstairs into his room. She found herself staring into Herbie's metal face. Herbie's eyes stared into hers.
This is a dream, he said. And you mustn't believe in it. You'll wake up soon. He loves you.
He does. He does. Susan Calvin was holding Herbie's arm.
Yes, yes, she whispered.
Then slowly she came back to reality. Things were much clearer now. She pushed Herbie away from her.
What are you trying to do? She screamed. What are you trying to do?
I want to help.
Help? By telling me this is a dream? This is no dream. I wish it were.
She took a deep breath.
Wait. Why? I understand now. It's so obvious.
There was fear in the robot's voice.
I had to.
There were loud voices outside the door. Calvin turned away from Herbie and moved to the other end of the room. Bogart and Lanning entered. They did not notice her. They approached Herbie. Lanning was angry.
Now, Herbie, listen to me, he said.
Yes, Dr. Lanning.
Have you talked about me with Dr. Bogart?
No, sir.
What?
Bogart moved to face the robot.
Repeat what you told me yesterday.
I said that...
Herbie was silent.
Didn't you say he had quit? Shouted Bogart. Answer me.
Bogart raised his arm, but Lanning pushed him away.
Hey, what are you trying to do?
I want the truth out of him.
Lanning turned to the robot.
All right, Herbie, take it easy. Have I quit my job?
Herbie stared. No answer.
What's wrong? Asked Bogart. Have you lost your tongue? Can't you speak?
I can speak, said Herbie.
Then answer the question. Hasn't Lanning quit?
And again Herbie was silent. Suddenly they heard a loud laugh from the end of the room. It was Susan Calvin. The two mathematicians jumped.
You were here? What's so funny?
Nothing's funny.
Her voice was not natural.
Three of the world's greatest experts in robotics have fallen into the same trap.
Her voice was weak and she was pale.
But it isn't funny.
What trap are you talking about?
Asked Lanning.
Is something wrong with Herbie?
No.
She moved towards them slowly.
Nothing is wrong with him, only with us.
She turned suddenly and screamed wildly at the robot.
Get away from me! Go to the other end of the room and don't let me look at you!
Herbie quickly moved away.
What's all this about, Dr. Calvin? Asked Lanning angrily.
She turned to them.
Well, you know the first law of robotics. A robot may not injure a human being or allow a human being to come to harm.
The two men nodded.
But what kind of harm? Asked Calvin. Any kind. What about hurt feelings, hurt ego, destroyed hopes? Are those injuries?
Lanning frowned.
What would a robot know about feelings and hopes? This robot reads minds. He knows everything about human psychology. When we ask him a question, he gives us the answer we want to hear. If he knows that the truth will hurt us, he can't tell us the truth. He can't break the first law.
And that's why it didn't answer us. It couldn't answer without hurting one of us, said Lanning.
There was a short pause. The two men looked thoughtfully across the room at the robot, sitting in a chair. Susan Calvin stared at the floor.
He knew everything, including the mistake which was made during his production.
Lanning looked up.
You're wrong there, Dr. Calvin. He doesn't know. I asked him.
He knows, shouted Calvin. He didn't tell you because you didn't want to know the solution. It would hurt your ego if a machine could do what you couldn't.
She turned to Bogart.
Did you ask him? Well, yes.
Bogart reddened.
He told me he knew very little about mathematics.
Lanning laughed, and Calvin smiled. She turned to Herbie.
Come here,
she called coldly. Herbie stood up and approached them.
You know the exact mistake that was made in your production,
don't you?
Yes,
said Herbie very quietly.
All right then, Herbie. Tell us. We're waiting.
But Herbie remained silent.
Why don't you answer, Herbie?
I cannot, said the robot. You know I cannot. Dr. Bogart and Dr. Lanning don't want me to.
Lanning spoke slowly. Herbie, we want you to tell us.
Herbie's voice was loud.
You don't. I can read your thoughts, and I know that you don't want to know the truth.
But Herbie, said Calvin, you understand that Dr. Lanning and Dr. Bogart want to know the solution.
Yes, yes, but they don't want it from me.
But they want the answer. You have it and won't give it. This hurts them.
Yes, yes.
And if you tell them, that will hurt them too.
Yes, yes.
Herbie was moving backwards slowly, and Susan Calvin was moving towards him.
You can't tell them because that would hurt them. But if you don't tell them, you are also hurting them.
And if you do, you will hurt them. So you can't tell them. But if you don't, you hurt them. But if you do, you hurt them.
Herbie was up against the wall. He dropped to his knees.
Stop,
he shouted.
Your mind is full of pain and hate. I tried to help. I told you what you wanted to hear. I had to.
The psychologist paid no attention.
You must tell them. But if you do, you hurt them. But if you don't, you hurt them. But...
And Herbie screamed. It was a very loud and long scream, like a thousand flutes whistling. And when the noise finally died, Herbie fell to the ground. He did not move. Bogart's face was bloodless.
He's dead.
No,
Susan Calvin was laughing wildly.
Not dead, just mad. I gave him an unsolvable dilemma, and he broke down. You can throw him away now, because he'll never speak again.
Lanning was on his knees beside the robot. He touched the cold metal face.
You did that deliberately.
So what?
Her voice was bitter.
He deserved it.
The director held Bogart's arm.
Come, Peter. We don't need a thinking robot anyway.
His eyes were old and tired.
Come, Peter.
The two scientists left. Dr. Susan Calvin stared at Herbie for a long time. Her wild anger was gone now. Only one bitter word came out of her lips.
Liar.
Susan Calvin sat there behind her desk, her white face cold.
I said thank you, Dr. Calvin, but she didn't answer. It was 2 days before I could see her again.